came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I was in a little, what I call hole-in-the-wall gym in Smyrna, Georgia, called Iron House Fitness. And I know now the Lord had been working on me for a long time, getting me to a place of accepting Him and His salvation plan. Had friends that went to jail, prison, had friends that died, been to many funerals back then, but all that was God leading me to Himself. And I remember that day, my brother was there, and I said, "Chris, what do you think would happen if I died today?" He said, "Well, you'd go to hell unless you accept Jesus as your Savior." And so in the midst of the rock and roll music playing, the rap music playing, we went into the office there, and I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I want to say what great jubilation that was to me. And I knew that I got saved. I knew there was a change in my life. And I want to say that it's been 20 years ago. That was 20 years ago. And I'm not a perfect man. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. Ask my daughter, she'll tell you. But I do like to think that I'm a little more mature now than I was when I first got saved. And so I appreciate the Lord this morning being in the soul-saving business. And maybe there might be someone here this morning who has never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Today may be the very last day that you're alive on this earth. And I want to say for the saved person, those that know Jesus as Savior, this world is the only hell we will ever experience. And as a person who doesn't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this will be the only heaven you will ever experience. So come to Jesus today. That way, when this life passes away and you're gone, you will be in heaven with the Lord forever. Well, what a blessing it is to be back in Georgia. And we were down in Kissimmee, Florida, or like Christy likes to say, Kissimmee, Florida. And had a great time, and just a great time of renewal. And just really just no schedule, no routine, just spontaneous. Want to get up, go eat, we did. And get up and go to the pool, we did. One day we rode bikes around the place we were staying at. And so it's good sometimes to just get off the grid and do nothing. But thank you for allowing us to go. And glad you're here this morning. Good to see the Hendersons with us. And Bro Jack, Sister Jackie, love them. And there are no strangers to this church by no means. And so we are just blessed by their presence today. And good to have some of our friends with us. And in fact, Miss Caitlin, not trying to embarrass her. Well, I guess I won't embarrass her. She's waving. So that's good. But her and her family's here. Her and Lily play volleyball together, and which they're getting ready to be in a tournament on one day this week coming up. And so that's exciting, but so good to have their family with us this morning. Make yourself at home and just worship the Lord with us. Again, grateful you're here. And I want to welcome those that are watching on Facebook. Never want to take your presence for granted. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Brother Allen, for occupying the desk last week, the pulpit. Absolutely. We were blessed and by watching and listening to the message. Thank you, Brother CJ. And thank you, Brother Allen, again for cooking last Sunday. And so, and leading choir. So we're just so blessed to have willing hearts here at the church. I do want to mention some things. There was a lot of people away this weekend on vacation and getting away. And I would like for you to help us pray for traveling mercies for our children's home as they're sure heading home today with safe travels. But also, for those who don't know, Miss Darlene Hancock has a physical situation going on, and I believe she had to be drove halfway back, and then Brother Snyder did that, and then Miss Taylor, her daughter, met up with her and got her. She has a terrible foot infection of some kind. Don't want to get in great detail, but just remember her in your prayers as she tries to get that on the mend. I don't think I've ever, since I've known Miss Darlene, mentioned any kind of prayer request like this for her. She's always been healthy since I've known her. Of course, things like this happen you're not in control of. If you would remember, well, there's Miss Catherine. She's here. I know she wasn't feeling good this weekend, but do remember Miss Catherine as she continues to get better. Also remember Miss Christy. She's homesick today. We were playing in the rain in Florida, and she got sick. And you take me down to Florida, I'm going to be a kid. And so we had fun. But she's, at least that's what she says, she's sick from being in the rain. But just remember her in your prayers. But also, we got word, Thomas Brown is the pastor at Grace Baptist Church. Of course, the school is connected to that, Grace Christian School, where Lily attends school. That their son Dylan, one morning on vacation, he was unresponsive. He didn't wake up. So they rushed him. The ambulance came, took him to the hospital. Long story short, he has some kind of mast in his sinus airway, causing all kinds of issues. Miss Melita, do you know, is he still in rest, I guess?
Yes, they're still
sedated. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. So, very alarming. Couldn't imagine, waking up and your kid not waking up, trying to get him to wake up. But do remember these requests, if you would. And just a couple more things here before we pray this morning. Continue to remember Miss Dolores Palmer and her surgery recovery. Couple reminders, Saturday, October the 21st, we're going to have our church yard sale. And, of course, I have several particular details about this that I will mention at a later time closer to that date. But if you have any questions, you can come to me, Miss Catherine, or Lee Ellen. We're all kind of working together on this. But we'll have more information on that. And all the proceeds is of the understanding that all the proceeds from the yard sale will go for upgrading the church. We want to paint this hallway out here, and so we're excited about that. And after we get through with that, we're going to do the foyer and then do some upgrades here in the sanctuary, decorations and fresh paint and all. And so remember that date, Saturday, October 21st. And then also remember next Thursday, I believe it is when the ladies' prayer brunch. Normally, it's at Miss Mary and Sammy's house, but this next one, next Thursday, is going to be here in the fellowship hall. So if you haven't attended, some of the ladies haven't attended, please join in on that. You'll be glad you did. And then lastly, I need just a few moments after the service for a brief deacon's meeting and a sea launch class over here. All right. You glad you came this morning? Say amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you today. We thank you for all things, Lord. Thank you for our visitors, Lord, and how we do not take them for granted. And God, I just pray for all of these on our prayer list, from Dylan, Lord, to Miss Darlene, Christy, Catherine, Miss Dolores. Lord, just all these situations physically, Lord, they need your touch. You're the great physician. Nothing's caught you by surprise. And so we just commit their care to you and pray, Father, for the best results. And Lord, I thank you for these who have come this morning. I pray that you would allow them to hear clearly, Lord, from your word. Father, I know that there is a word this morning for your people. You have put it on my heart, a certain specific word. So I pray, God, that you would give liberty during that time to present that word. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you personally as Lord and Savior, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, I pray if there's one who is saved, who's away from you, they will return to the cross. And Lord, for all other Christians, I pray for encouragement today, that we will leave encouraged. Father, we love you today. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you'll take a hymnal, stand, church, and let's sing together. Page 177, choir, stand with me, and let's sing. You've heard a lot this morning about salvation, about when we first got saved. What takes place then? We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Our sins are gone. We're cleansed. White as snow. I'm glad to know I'm washed in the blood this morning. I hope you are. If not, it'd be a great day for it. Page 177. Let's sing the first and the last together. Are you washed in the blood? All right, sing with me now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Say this morning that since we do have quite a number of folks that are traveling, some will be getting back in today, but I'm not sure exactly what number we might have this evening for choir practice. As you can tell, we've taken a little bit of a hit this morning, but praise the Lord for everyone that's able to be here. If you'll close your eyes when the choir sings this morning, you'll never know that the choir loft's not full. Amen. I'm very thankful for that. We've always been very thankful for what the Lord's blessed us with as far as the music program here, and I'm glad that the Lord's allowed me to be a part of it. And so I'm just going to close my eyes this morning, look up there, and just listen as if though the choir was full. Amen. And but we won't have choir practice this evening. You'll get a little bit of a night off. It's hard to believe we're saying this, but next Sunday we start working on we're going to do our best anyway to start working on a song for Christmas. That's hard to believe, but it is now October. And we're going to start working ahead of time, Brother Don, for our Christmas program. Brother Harold, do you have a word?
Well, I probably shouldn't say this. As the one that's out here distracting someone in the choir, quit.
Okay. All right. So, but please be much in prayer as we start to get ready for our Christmas program. We'll start trying to work on that next week. So please pray that the Lord would bring those back safely that are traveling. And let me just say this. It's great to have my friend, Miss Mary Kelly, back in the house this morning. You got a friend. You got a friend in me. He's our friend. Amen. But it is. It's great to have her back this morning. And for those that are visiting with us, you're our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as a place of worship this morning. We'll get the place filled back up really soon. So please come back and be with us anytime that you can. You're always welcome here. And we're thankful for the Spirit of the Lord. We're glad to have Pastor back with us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that I had last Sunday morning. I don't know, maybe somebody had a buying a sausage sandwich or maybe some beanie weenies from the message. I don't know. Well, maybe not. But But I do thank you for the opportunity, and I'm glad to know that I can do all things through Christ,
Amen.
Which strengthens me. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Ask him to be with us in the service this morning. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. And God, I pray that you would just touch our pastor this morning. I know that you have given him a message. Lord, I pray that you'd give him the liberty and the freedom to speak, thus saith the Lord. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. And God, I pray that you touch someone. If there's someone here today that has never accepted you as their personal Savior, they've never been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, and they don't know what that's all about. God, I pray that you touch their heart, touch their mind, draw them through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and may they too be born into the family of God today, that they'll be able to leave this place and say, when I got up, I knew that I was changed. God, I pray that you would again just be with us, accept our worship and our praise, be with the choir. Again, be with those that are traveling. But Lord, most of all, may the Holy Spirit fill this place this morning, that when we leave here, that we'll be able to say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, Lord, touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed. We'll praise you, Lord. We'll thank you for all that's accomplished today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, I long to feel.
had in my mind earlier to say, and I didn't, so I'm going to say it now. Happy fall, y'all. I walked outside this morning, Brother Jack, and it felt good.
Yes.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Happy fall. I do want to say, while we were away on vacation, we celebrated Lily's 16th birthday. So she's on the move, if you know what I mean. And got a couple of them. I'm working on a third, whittling one. But anyway, we celebrated her on the way down there on Saturday. And so had a good time. And but anyway, just glad to be here this morning and appreciate the Lord and all His goodness. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn to the book of Job in the Old Testament, chapter 23. I do want to apologize for our screen not performing correctly this morning. We have it pulled up and having some technical difficulties with that. We started upgrading some things, and we have our two monitors in the hallway, and so anytime you upgrade and make things more better and modern, it always really has a way of showing other things that need to be improved. And so normally we have, for our visitors, said that to say, normally we have our words on the screen to the pages that we read in the Bible, and we don't have that this morning. Book of Job, chapter number 23, I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to start reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 10, and bring the message I feel the Lord has laid on our heart for this hour. And Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Father, it's hard to thank You sometimes for the ugly, but we know that if we are in Your hand, that God, You dictate what we go through. And so, Father, we just thank You for what You're doing in all of our lives. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that You'll give me a clear head and a calm heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would minister to every heart that's in this place today. There's no mistake as to why the people are here that are here. So I pray that You would use Your word this morning. I love You today, and I thank You for the things that You have done, You're doing now, and that You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Job chapter number 23. Job 23.
Verse number 1.
Then Job answered
and said,
"Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Speaking of the Lord. "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." Then in verse number 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's reading this morning, Job chapter 23, verse number 1 down through verse number 10. Pretty sure we all have at least heard of the story of Job. People often in life refer to Job when it comes to their life circumstances. But we know that the devil was turned loose on Job. God gave permission for that. And we know that Job lost it all. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family, lost his children. He maintained his wife. And we know that Job was going down a terrible road of brokenness. We also know the end of the book of Job, that God blessed him double for his trouble. And so we at least have some kind of idea of this story this morning, the story of Job. This morning I want to call your attention to verse number 10, where the Bible says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I'm glad this morning that I may not know what God is up to in my life, but he knows what's going on in my life. Amen. I may not be able to trace his hand. As Job said, I look on my left where I know he's working, I can't find him. I look on my right where normally and regularly I would know that the Lord is working. I can't find them. I go forward. I go back. There's times in life where we feel alone. And so I'm glad that although we may feel alone at times, and I'm glad that although we may not be able to know exactly what God is doing and where he's at, he knows the way that we take. I want to call your attention to the word tried this morning. That word tried is the same word for test. And with that thought this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, types of tests. Types of tests. Whenever I prepare for a sermon, I'm praying, I'm thinking, I'm studying. Sometimes I just have to walk away from the scriptures and just go outside, do something non-spiritual related. Because sometimes in my study, I feel like that I'm not getting anywhere. It's running my head against the wall. And normally it's when I walk away from the study, God starts speaking to me, as weird as that sounds. Of course, it gets me back in my study. And saying that, it feels like many times I'm preaching on testing, I'm preaching on trials. I'm not trying to hobby horse a subject this morning, but I believe that we all continually deal with testing and trials. Life is one big test this morning. We're either, as the old saying goes, we're either in a storm, going through a storm, coming out of a storm, about to go in a storm. It's stormy everywhere. And so it's relevant to preach on testing and trials. So this morning I want to talk about types of tests. Job is saying here that God is testing me. My question this morning is that all through the Bible we find God testing his children. Why? Why was God testing Job? Why does God and why did God test all of the people in the Bible that he tested? Why is that? Ultimately this morning, I believe the reason for the people in the Bible that were tested, Job being tested, is because ultimately it was bringing his people to a dependence upon him. But also it was bringing his people to maturity. We know that maturity is revealed by testing. We either find out if we're mature or not when the heat's turned up. But not only is maturity revealed by testing, but maturity is developed by testing. We either see how mature we are, or the lack of maturity we have, and if we see that we have a lack of maturity, then we want to get mature in those areas. God also this morning, He tests us to bring us to a place of dependence upon Him, to develop maturity in us, to reveal our level of maturity we already have. God this morning, He's aware of how we respond to people. He knows how we react to problems. He's aware of how we deal with success. He knows how we deal with failure, with illness, with disappointment. God, He knows all about those things. And because of that, He sends tests into our life. What kind of tests does God send into our lives? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I got seven of them. Now, that don't mean I'm going to preach 7 hours, but I do want to mention some and maybe labor at some and just kind of go past some a little quicker than the others. What kind of test does God send into our life? Number one, the test of patience. Now, the other Sunday morning I preached on marks of maturity, and I preached on patience on one of those points. So I'm not re-preaching what I preached then, but I do want to share it again. God tests our patience. Patience is developed through trials. Trials can be a test of patience. God has a timing. Listen, God has a timing for fulfilling His purposes. And most of the time, His purposes and His plans take a long time, and we get impatient. But it's through that waiting process. It's through that hoping process. It's through that praying process. It's through that gruesome process of waiting and hoping for God's best to come into our life that patience is developed. Turn, if you would, to James chapter number 1. Again, we were here the other Sunday, but I want to revisit James chapter number 1, if you would. We are done with Job 23. James chapter number 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we see here that God is up to something, and He's trying to develop patience in our life. Somewhere down the road, you're going to need patience. And so we know that God is a forward-thinking God. We know that He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end and everything in between. And so therefore He allows situations to come into our life where our patience is tried. Patience is tried. And James says to count it all joy, to sum it all up, to make your mathematical equation and then hit equal or the answer. And it always comes to joy, or it always comes to a conclusion. And what I meant by that is that whatever we go through in our lives, God is up to something, and He tells us we ought to not joy because of our struggle, but we are to joy because God is up to something. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so we know by the Scriptures, is telling us that knowing this, knowing that the trying, the exercising of patience, of faith, is working for a greater good in our life. Verse 4 again, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, or mature, wanting nothing. And then in verse number 5, the Bible tells us that we can ask for understanding. Sometimes people say, well, I don't question God on anything. Well, that sounds good. But you get into a crisis, you may not utter the words, why God, but in your heart you will ask some questions. If Job asked the questions that he asked, we too will ask questions. I'm persuaded that verse number 5 tells us it's okay to ask God why. He says, if any of you lack wisdom or understanding, he's talking about what you're going through, the trial, the time of testing, what you're going through. If you don't understand it and you need clarity, he says, ask. Ask for understanding. I love this part. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The words upbraideth not, it means to not taunt, ridicule. You know, sometimes you can go to people and say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm going through something, and I just want to know what you think. Sometimes those people are like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. I can't believe you're asking me that. Just kind of ridiculing or taunting. And you may be genuine and sincere in your question and genuinely seeking advice, but others may think that it's something silly or you've lost your mind, but not when it comes to the Lord. He says that you can ask him for understanding. He does not upbraid. He does not taunt. He does not ridicule. He wants to give you instruction and guidance. So we see here that we can ask God why. And then we turn over, we're still in the book of James, chapter number 5. In verse number 11, Job is used here as an example of patience. He says in verse 11, chapter 5, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Praise the Lord for that. Job, his whole life was a test, and it's recorded in James. And if Job was tested, we too will be tested in this area of patience. What are you waiting on in your life? What is that thing that keeps stretching itself out over time and seemingly God has not stepped in and dealt with it? You prayed and asked the Lord to help you in this situation, but the thing is there. It's not moving. It's concrete. God is bringing you through a trial so that you can exercise patience and faith in him. So one of the types of tests that we go through in life, that is of the patience test. Patience test. Let me mention another one. Not only a patience test, but a faith test. These are closely related, but a little different. Trials can be a test of our faith. Now we know that we have tests of patience where it's all patience. God is stretching our patience. But then there's times of the faith test. God is stretching our faith. Do we believe in God even in pain and suffering? This is the faith test. Do we believe his promises when things look impossible? This is the faith test. Do we believe God when we don't understand things? This is the faith test. Daniel chapter 3. I forgot to tell you that it's Bible Drill Sunday. Daniel chapter number 3 for just a moment. It's Bible Drill Sunday and a lot of questions Sunday in this particular message. There's the faith test. We know that in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the burning fiery furnace. And we know that the Lord joined them in that fire. But look at verse 16, Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So we know the king wanted everyone in the community and region to bow to his images and his music and all the rest. But these three Hebrew boys did not do that. And they said that God is able to deliver in verse 17, but in verse 18, he says, but if he won't, it's not that he can't. He says in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So we see that they were going through a faith test, even themselves, during this physical fire. This fire tested the faith of these boys. How else can the strength of our faith be made known? Unless it's tested by fire. Unless it's tested by trial. So the three Hebrew boys, their faith was tested by fire. And they said that God is able. But if not. That's the same kind of tests that we go through in life. And it's not a question, is God able, but it's the question is, will we still believe him if he doesn't? Will we still trust in him if he doesn't? In these tests, they test the strength of our faith, and it's made known to us during these fiery times. So there's the faith test. There's the patience test. And then briefly, there's the love test. The love test. Trials can test our love. They reveal who or what we love the most. They reveal our priorities and desires. The Lord wants all of our affection more than the other things we have affection for. The depth of our love for God is revealed during seasons of trials. Whenever you go through hardship, you begin to consider what's dear to you the most. So there's the love test. I said we're going to run through some of these kind of briefly. There's the love test. There's the faith test. There's the patience test. But then there's the endurance test. The endurance test. Trials can be a test of endurance. How much will we endure for God? 2 Timothy 2:3. Second Timothy 2:3 says this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so there's times in life where we go through challenges that are strictly to challenge our endurance. I shared this story not long ago, but it's worthy to be shared again. In 1952, Florence Chadwick attempted the 26-mile swim between the California coastline and Catalina Island. 15 hours into that swim, a thick fog set in. And Chadwick's vision was challenged. Chadwick's confidence was shaken. And right along the side of Chadwick was a rescue boat, just in case she couldn't swim anymore. And her mom was on that boat. And so finally she says, it's enough. I can't see through the fog. I can't finish. Keep in mind, she has already swam for 15 hours, going for 26 miles from one island to the next. And so they pulled her in the boat. But it was when she got in the boat and they sailed a little farther, she soon discovered the Catalina Island was only 1 mile away. She got her eyes on the fog, and that fog distracted her, and that fog stripped away the confidence she had. I wonder if there's anybody this morning going through any thick fog in your life. This is the endurance test. You can't see the end. You can't see the finish line. You've been moving forward, and you've been challenged, and you've been giving it your all, but you feel like giving up this morning. I give you a word of encouragement to keep on swimming. Keep on going. You never know when God may turn the tide. You may be closer to the shore than you realize. It's just sometimes in life, the fog gets thick. And we can't see our way through. And this is the test of endurance. It's a type of test in life. God ultimately sends these tests, this endurance test, He sends so that it might reveal our level of maturity, but also might develop maturity, but also it might cause us to depend on Him during these times of our endurance being tested. It's the endurance test. Let me mention another one. The endurance test is a type of test. But then there's the humility test. Humility test. Trials can be a test of humility. The Lord humbles us by allowing us to go through seasons of trials, seasons of testing. The Lord humbled Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant. And if He humbled Himself, took upon Himself the form of a servant, He wants us to as well. You can follow along if you like, but I got my verses wrote down here. 1 Peter 5:6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you." That word exalt means lift up. And so the Bible literally is telling us the way to get up is get down. The way to get up is not get up. It's nothing self-induced that we can do. Pride can't get us to where we want to be. Morale can't get us to where we want to be. Those things are helpful in their spots, but it's getting down. It's humbling ourselves. It's surrendering our abilities to the Lord and allowing Him to lift us up. It's surrendering our storms to the Lord, surrendering our trials and times of testing to the Lord, surrendering our abilities and disabilities. It's just surrendering ourselves to Him. And the Bible says when we get down, we'll get up. Sometimes the only way to get through your storm is to get down. You know, you get a weatherman comes on and says, "There's a storm coming, a hurricane. Get in your safe zones." We've got one great safe zone at our house. We different places we could choose from, but I tell Christy and Lily, I tell them, if a storm comes, they tell us to hide and get in our safe zones. It's going to be in the bathroom downstairs, in the center, almost the center of the house. Get in there, that's our safe zone. Get in there, I'll pile up in there till the storm passes by. Sometimes when life gets tough and hard and we don't see the results that we're wanting to see, we feel like we've been left alone and abandoned. It's not time to run out on God or get mad at God, but it's time to get in our safe zone. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. If you go back and read the verse before that was 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:5 tells us to be clothed with humility. The words be clothed is through the idea of an apron as a badge. So when we're clothed with humility, we are wearing a badge, an apron, and it's very noticeable a humble person versus a prideful person. There's the test of humility. And God is wanting us to humble ourselves under His mighty right hand that He may exalt us in due time. Listen to this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Sometimes you meet people and they're like, oh, I'm nothing, I never will be, I'm junk, oh God, I wouldn't have saved me if I, you know, I'm just nothing, oh, it's not me, it's the Lord, and some of those things are fine. But there is such a thing as a false humility. People, you're just going around trying to prove to everybody you're humble. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. And so there's a humility test, and God certainly sends those into our lives. Let me give you another one. There's the sacrifice test. Trials can be a test of sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice for the Lord? Are we clinging to the possessions and treasures of this world? Are we attached to those things? Are we clinging to those things? We all can if we're not careful. But when we surrender ourselves to the Lord fully, then we will bear much fruit. There's the sacrifice test. And of course, we all know Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac. There was a sacrifice test. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and it's through that son all the nations of the earth will be blessed one day. Then God turns right around and says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Wait a minute, Lord. You gave me a gift and you want it back? Yes. And so what happened? He was obedient to the Lord. The Bible says that, you know, he was a man that staggered not. And he was firmly persuaded that God would raise him from the dead just to fulfill his word. So Abraham took him upon the mountain and set things in order. He went down with a knife to slay his son, which God asked him to do. Let me pause there for a moment. Sometimes in life, it seems like God contradicts himself. Now just listen. I didn't say God contradicts himself. It seems like he does. God positions you somewhere and everything falls apart. God blesses you on one end and then the next day it's the storm, you're in a storm of your life. And you know you heard from the Lord, but then everything falls apart. Is there hypocrisy in Jesus? Is he contradicting himself? I don't think he is. I think that it's just a test. It's a sacrifice test. And so Abraham, he put Isaac on the place where the Lord told him to. And again, things were set in place. And Abraham just believes with all of his heart that God would come through. Even if he had to raise him from the dead, he went down. And the angel of the Lord said, stop. Wait a minute. And then there was a sacrifice behind Abraham. It was a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. By the way, without spot and without blemish, that sacrifice was exchanged for Isaac, and which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ without spot, without blemish. Thank God he gave his life for our life, the great exchange. Many a shadow seen in those verses in that account. But it was a sacrifice test. And the sacrifice, the Lord provided a sacrifice instead of Isaac. And Abraham said, I'm going to name this place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. You see, Abraham had to go through that test to know Jesus, to know the Lord as provider. He knew them as other things, but it was through this test that he said, I know God provides. Some of you have been through storms and tests where God came through and provided, and now you can say he's Jehovah Jireh. But before that storm, you couldn't say that. You could say he was Savior. You could say that he never left me, forsaken me, but you couldn't say he was provider. But now that you've been through some things, you can say, the Lord is my provider. Could it be what you're going through now is a test of sacrifice? God doesn't want you to get caught up in things. He doesn't want you to get caught up in the situation. He wants you to focus on him and his promises and trust him. Surrender yourself. Present your life a living sacrifice. And then God always comes through. It's the sacrifice test. And then I'll leave you with this one this morning. There's the obedience test. Trials can be a test of obedience. Will we obey God even when we do not like what he wants us to do? Now, I'm a firm believer that God gives us the desires to do what he wants us to do. But there's times where he has us doing things where it's not fun or convenient. And the question is, will we do what he wants us to do, although we may not like the circumstances? It's the test of obedience. Don't turn there, but in Matthew 26, verse 39, it was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. It's the test of obedience. Hey, listen, we will go through this test from time to time in life. If Jesus did, we will. And so there's several tests that we go through in life, and that's just to mention some of them. There's many more to mention, but this morning, types of tests. Are you going through a test this morning? Are you going through a time of difficulty? Do you understand everything that's going on in your life? Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. But the question is, will you continue going after Jesus during the test? I promise you, it's for your benefit in his glory is the reason why you're going through these things. It's to reveal our maturity. It's to mature us. But also, it's to have us be totally dependent upon him. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy. I pray, God, that you'll just work during the time of invitation. If there's someone here that wants to come, that needs to come and pray and ask for help and guidance, maybe someone needs to come and do business with you and accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, or maybe someone just wants to come and just say, thank you, God, for your blessings on me. Whatever the case is, Lord, I pray that you'll give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.